just let it go. And it
okay.
Sure.
It should. There we go.
It's writing and there we go.
You guys are probably going to do my talk.
Well, I must say, we even have some people that came in on a gorgeous day like today. Now, we wish we were outside, right? So, I'm going to talk about a study that we just finished in South Africa. And we actually are very happy with the results of the study. This paper is in press, though we did a little bit of analysis to make it interesting. I don't have any worries about disclosure. I did want to thank all my co-authors. As you saw on the first page. I'm not only going to share results, but when I think at a public health meeting and where we have up-and-coming people that are still trying to figure out what they want to do in the world, when you think of research, there are also other parts of research that include policy implications. And I just finished a policy forum in South Africa with government people because when I think of having been a clinician and a researcher, what do we do with our research and our research to action? Who do we push to what with what of some of these outcomes? And there are different policy people as well as far as what do we do next? What happens to this research? So I want to not just give you outcomes, but talk about what do you do next with your study outcomes besides want to do another study and ask the next question as a scientist? Because we're always saying, well, we didn't ask the right question. What's that next question? Because I certainly think we can be a whole lot smarter. And I always try to figure out, because I try to surround myself with students and other people that are a lot smarter than me, and I think we can get better in our work. So I want to share with you this long journey that I've had since I've been working in South Africa since 2001, how we try to get better, but we're also working with the most incredibly vulnerable group of women. And I did not even know when I went to South Africa I was going to be working with women who had been raped, with women who ended up being as sex workers because they had no options, but they were also substance abusers and this intersection of drugs, sex, and violence. Today, I will concentrate on just one very important outcome about condom use and talk to you about sort of that implication of that specific outcome and why I talk about that outcome. But I want to give you sort of that global perspective of what it's like to adapt an intervention. And I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'll talk fast as I usually do. The context for those of us that work internationally is gives us a much broader perspective of the world and also the blessings that we have for those of us that get to come to a gorgeous place like this, that's for sure. But it gives us certainly some good relativity. I shot this picture. I take a lot of pictures when I travel. Shot this picture when I, one of the early years of where women actually work on the streets. And what's interesting for women who come in from the rural areas to do sex work, and not that they choose to do sex work, it's because they have to support a lot of other people, is that the men that actually are being serviced drove BMWs and Mercedes and fancy cars and came, very similar to my studies in North Carolina, between 11 and 1, their lunchtime hour, to be serviced by the women in this lean-to, by the way. And because I sat and observed this for a while. And for years, this lean-to, when they're not women in there, the blanket would be down. This is just to show you that the women support, and over the years I always look at this variable as far as that the women end up supporting a lot of people, not just their children, but a lot of other people for their families, and take the money and try to go back to where they live in their tribal lands, not just in the urban cities, but some of them end up blowing the money. They live with big mamas or gatekeepers and blow the money on drugs, but they also do take money back to their families. So when you think about working and doing women's work, you always have to think of the context of women come in and work, tell you about their lives, and their lives involve a lot of other history, you know, abuse, responsibility, pressure to take care of other people. So the need in South Africa, which I hadn't planned to actually do international work, was this study I've been doing actually now for 10 years with African-American crack-using women that's been found evidence-based. It's funded by CDC. It's now on the It's funded by NIH, funded by NIH all these years, but CDC has a website about it and the studies we've published about it as being evidence-based. And as I was asked by NIDA to go to South Africa, I had to learn a lot about what was going on in South Africa. And as I learned, one in four women that were having babies was HIV positive, and all these years it's gone from to 32% down to 29%. And because they're doing a better job with HIV rapid testing, we're trying to get a better handle of how many of these young women are actually HIV positive. And if you don't know the facts, you'll see from my study, it's really even worse than expected among the vulnerable women that I reach. So you can see the incidence and the intersection of victimization that goes on there and the broader sense of the alcohol and substance abuse, and many of the women use substances also as sex workers just to get rid of feeling the shyness of having to talk to men. So that's a real paradox for me. As you can see here, from my first initial study, the women said, yes, I use drugs so I can talk to men because I feel shy. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed about having to be a sex worker. And I can think better when I'm on drugs. But then ultimately, when you talk to sex workers, because I've also talked to sex workers doing some formative work in Miami, Florida, and they say, yeah, I'll do all this, but by 4 o'clock in the morning, and they all use protection. Sex workers use condoms, but not with their main partners, which is the point of my talk. But when they party, and get high, they quit using condoms. So I just want to tell you this journey, of course, of all of us that do this kind of intervention work. You have to do a lot of formative work. You have to do pilot studies. You have to prove your point to win these big multi-million-dollar five-year studies. But the goal ultimately for us is to really do help women change their lives and to empower them to learn about the risks of what they're doing. We call it harm reduction, and to change their behaviors and to actually learn concrete skills as far as violence prevention and learning how, you know, the times that they're going to use drugs and drink, how they can reduce it, drinking water, not drugging and drinking with clients, and learning how to properly use male and female condoms. In South Africa, not only have women started using the female condom, we got the government now paying for the female condom, and we're a distribution site. Those are the wonderful successes from research that we've been able to do. Just to give you a few things and pictures of our site and our staff, and there you see a nice dildo preparing to view. Practice with a male condom. Actual male condom use mastery was a real problem, and seeing them actually know how to get the air out, you pull it all the way down and not have condom problems is one of the really, believe it or not, important aspects of really good HIV prevention. So you can see biological testing was an aspect, knowledge, skills training, role playing until you get it right. And then a personalized risk reduction plan on the one arm that we're testing, the women-focused intervention to the standard, was very important to our study. Of course, translation and having a multilingual team, you can assume that's important. You know, from the very early days of working with women, for 30 years for me, being with women, having a women's center, we always said, take care of women, take care of their children, get transportation. These are basic things that we do, but we do believe in healthy feeding. Nutritional foods, as you can see, juices, good food, whole wheat bread, and taking care of the children. Getting nappies on children, diapers, basic things. Children come to us every day, but they don't have diapers, and believe me, you want to make sure you get diapers on those babies. We have lots of issues, and so debriefing with staff is a big issue, and mobility of the women being raped and making sure they get referrals, and having to deal with many of our young women with the mode. The age was 23, and you'll see our high prevalence of HIV, where we actually reached the women in the townships, and we had a really interesting targeting sampling plan I can't get into today, but we've written about it. This is a little bit more about the sample of reaching over 700 women and actually getting 583 into the study. I have an incredibly fantastic staff you saw in that picture that had 91% at 3-month follow-up and 94% at 6-month follow-up. That's phenomenal for an incredibly mobile group of 400 sex workers and 200 women who were high risk but not sex workers, just to show the difference, because look at this HIV prevalence. Now you can see here 68% of women who are sex workers were positive and 34% who are not sex workers were also positive. Now these are women who are not sex workers but have main partners. And you can see education is very similar. There's not a lot of differences. Most of them have given birth to children. These are the young women, and we're worried about the future of South Africa. And if they use condoms with their clients, most of them are using condoms with their clients at baseline. So you don't see a lot of movement for change. But why I wanted, after my first year of reaching a lot of sex workers, change my sample, is I really needed to see what's going on with that main partner, because the sex workers also have main partners. So here you can see there's a lot of abuse, and there's also rape. In the last 90 days, but if you look also at ever, there's a tremendous amount of victimization. So let's just look at the data quickly before I run out of time. The last sex with a main sexual partner, the women focus versus the standard. Now, both interventions I felt strongly about this. Both interventions role-played and rehearsed the male and female condom. So we really felt ethically that we had to make sure they really knew how to use male and female condom. The difference in the woman's intervention is that we actually taught women how to negotiate and communicate with a male partner how, you know, about using male condoms. And what we see is over time, it was really consistent. It took a while for women to build that self-efficacy, that ability to communicate with their male partner without feeling like they were going to be victimized or beat up. Because men, and I've done focus groups with the men, feel very much that they're in charge. And we published a paper this year about women's and women and inequality and the role of women in South Africa. So that's if you're interested, I'll give you that citation. So you can see over time the women's intervention actually does eventually empower women to make a difference. In our newer study in the Western Cape, we're doing more follow-ups at 9 and 12 months to really see if there's sustainability and durability of the intervention, which is scientifically important because there's always deterioration of an intervention. But what's interesting, if you start also wanting to see, is there a difference between who's HIV positive and HIV negative? There's really not that much difference, but I wonder what would have happened if I had a longer trajectory here. Now, if you broke out who's a sex worker and who's a not a sex worker and who's in the women focus and who's not in the women focus, you can see still we're doing much better with the condom negotiation and communication skills that are added like an enhanced intervention just besides just condom skills with the male and female condom. So I was very happy to see that these are, again, the strength as you can see what's going on with the women who are not sex workers but having to deal with just their main partners, as you can see the trajectory going in the right direction. So when you think of just about interventions and we move on to policy implications, we think offering intervention, as you can see, actually changes condom use. So we could offer the standard intervention or do anything, these women change. And I can tell you from some other conferences I spoke at this summer, they also change their substance abuse. We also, from the international meeting in Mexico City I talked about this summer, we've been able to reduce victimization. Interventions do make a difference. And yet, if you really do, the flip side of this is, they're still also having unprotected sex. You can see you make a difference, but the flip side of it is, there's plenty of time where they're still having unprotected sex. So we're not there yet. We have to keep working at this. And the women's intervention over time empowers women. And the other thing we're doing right now is the cost effectiveness of this intervention. Because you've looked at that extra time we spend with the women, doing the personalized plan, doing condom negotiation and communication and role playing, is a little bit more time. Is it going to be cost effective? Which is a very, very important question as we really do to ask these policy questions. So research to practice focus is, we know these women are vulnerable. If you looked at those HIV test results, it's pretty devastating. And I can tell you right now, my site is still open. We have an NGO actually servicing our women, giving them ARV, and we're also reaching our negative women, and we're trying to make sure that they stay negative. We're also working with people that want to develop a vaccine with some of our women who are negative to see if they stay negative over time. But focusing on main sexual partner relationship has to be a focus on women, and my newer study in the Western Cape is actually dealing with couples because we think about the next scientific questions. But building sustainable interventions are needed, as I say here, confidence and skills, and that reinforcement that women need, that bonding that women need because of gender inequality. It's an issue around the world as HIV, as we say, has that woman's face. And other interventions, I say, with couples that are also multi-level or community level or structural level interventions. So as I say, policy implications are translating these programs throughout the community to women's organizations and other NGOs, expanding skills development, economic empowerment. I can tell you that some of the women wanted to leave sex work because we also followed up with in-depth interviews, and they started some microeconomics. They started selling vegetables, some selling cigarettes. They were doing other things because they wanted to stop doing sex work. They stopped using drugs, and they wanted to gain some control and power in their lives. It was really quite beautiful. Many of the feedback in the in-depth interviews is we want some medical treatment here. They want a treatment for STIs. They want a treatment for their HIV. And we've been able, after 2 years, to negotiate that with an NGO that had PEPFAR money. I'm very happy about that, but it's so slow going getting women on ARV. And as I say, create accessible and affordable resources to meet the needs of sex workers. Also, to reduce stigma. Why they wanted us to become a clinic was women are still stigmatized no matter where they go. And so we have this as far as decreasing barriers to care and reducing stigma, and focusing on intervention efforts on these women of childbearing age. To increase sexual protection 100% of the time. That's kind of hard to ask. So, you know, we know it's a successive development, successive approximations as we move along in these incremental steps to be successful in the work we do. So I leave you with the, you know, this global health, global public health interest to support women's and couples' interventions, supporting sexual equality, negotiation, and sexual protection, offering, as we hope we get better, thoughtful, sensitive, durable, and sustainable programs. Thank you.
Sure. We have time for a couple questions.
Any questions? Sure. Yes. Yes, we have what you call the vagina in the box, and they have to practice with that as well. And those are very expensive, you know, because they have the model, and that's what people have used for diaphragms. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes. I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a woman. I couldn't see. Yeah, well, this, I have a paper in press about this, and so you can, I'll give you my card, and then we have some cue cards where we actually have step-by-step on condom negotiation, and we have a new study in the field with even more, we just get a little better as we keep trying to figure this out, and I'd be glad to share that with you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. All right, yes. Sure. That's a good question. Okay, so let me talk about the two different regions that I've worked in. Soweto, where she's talking about, is in Johannesburg. That's where you just spoke about, which is huge. It's really quite interesting now, too, because it's changed so much. But we were working in Gauteng, which is the region of Johannesburg and Pretoria. The kinds of drugs that the women, since 2001, that I was working with, are drinking alcohol, smoking daka, which is marijuana, but they sprinkle it with Thai white and rock, which is crack. And they sometimes don't even know the difference. We've tried to analyze this. They don't know the difference between their Thai white and rock. Now, that's in Pretoria, but they also use cant, which is, they use cant versus, let me tell you, in the Western Cape, which now this new study I just started, and I've published a paper on our pilot data, too, because it's changed between black and colored women, and you know the big differences in the Western Cape between black and colored women is methamphetamine, and I spoke about that yesterday morning. Methamphetamine is an explosion in the Western Cape, and that's the major problem. Now, there's differences between black and colored women with their alcohol and drug use, and I'll be glad to get you that paper, but alcohol is still a major problem. DACA is something everybody smokes marijuana, and whether they actually sprinkle things on it, young kids are huffing glue and whatever they can get their hands on, and I'm very worried about organic disorders, and I'm still worried about fetal alcohol syndrome because women still drink and use meth while they're pregnant, so that's a very serious problem. So there are regional differences, and their Sikindu newsletter will tell you of everybody entering drug treatment in South Africa. It will tell you all the drugs that are being used of anybody that enters treatment. And I can get you that as well in those links. The problem is not everybody, especially in the black community, will enter treatment. And though it's changing, it's beginning to change a little bit. So there are regional differences. Now, the one interesting phenomenon is heroin was a white drug in South Africa. And in the last year, not only has methamphetamine moved from the color to the black community, but heroin has moved from the white community into the black community. So drugs are moving around, and the gangs, the Russian mafia, and are part of this drug trade, and the Chinese are making the meth to trade for abalone. Was that enough? I can give you links to this. Oh, I'm sorry. Mandrax for a while was gone. Mandrax is back. And Mandrax is buttons, called buttons there. And yes, I can tell you that women are smoking Mandrax again to come down off a tick, which is methamphetamine. And so we are starting to see it. You have to freeze the urine to get a Mandrax positive test. But we are testing for Mandrax again. My first study, we got really negatives, but we did test for Mandrax. but we're mostly getting methamphetamine in the Western Cape, and we mostly got marijuana and crack in the North. Okay, sorry, thank you.